name, Lord Jesus, I speak. Yeah, we continue with our study on Genesis chapter 32. We are on the name of God. Yeah, I'm going to read chapter 32, verse 29. Chapter 32, verse 29. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. Alright? Now, you find that if Jehovah or the Lord, yeah, or Yahweh is the name of God, then why should Jacob ask, yeah, of the name of God again? Why should he ask? Because in chapter 32 itself, verse 9, he actually used the word Lord, L-O-R-D. Can you see? Yeah? So it goes to show that the name Lord or Jehovah, yeah, according to, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses, right, is the name of God. Then why should Jacob ask, right? And this is how you present the message, right? Now I want you to read the. I want to read the Judges. Is I think it's chapter where chapter 6, huh? Sorry. I'm not sure though. Let me see if I can find it. So, Judges. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, sorry, chapter 13, yeah? Judges. Okay, now here it talks about the father of Samson, right? Now, after his encounter with the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament scriptures, the angel of the Lord actually is God himself, yeah? And manifested to man in a visible form. Right? Now, I want you to read verse 17. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? Right? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you." Right? And you find that again here. This person asks about the name of the Lord. Okay? That's about the name of the Lord. Now, yes. Okay. Now, so now my point is, yeah. My point is, you know, this asking about the name of God does not just occur once. Actually, I think in the Old Testament scriptures, it happened quite a few times, and this is one of them, right? So again, ask about the name of God. Now I want you to turn to Proverbs, chapter 30, 30. Uh, chapter 13, we read verse 4. Here is like a passage written by Agur. Okay, I want you to read verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? Okay, now obviously in the ancient time, they all knew that it was the Lord God, L-O-R-D, who created the heaven and the earth. Yeah. Now as for his name, it's like it was hidden away from them. Yeah, it's kept away from them. You understand what I'm saying? Right? That's why you find it again in that. What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? It's like, please tell me, what is the name? Okay, so quite clearly in the Old Testament time, the name of God is not revealed. Now, I think prophetically speaking, the name of God was only revealed when Jesus came into this world. Right, now I want you to read Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, we read verse 9. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, meaning in the future, it shall be the Lord is one and his name. One. So he has only one name, right? Yeah. So when you study Philippians, we find that this is the name, yeah, which is above all names. Okay. So the name of Jesus is the name of God. This name is for salvation. Right? Now, so when Christ came in this world, his name was fully manifested. That's the idea. Okay, now we come back to Genesis. Now we look on. We look at chapter 33. Yeah. Now we come to chapter 33. Now, here it talks about Jacob saw what. His brother was coming. Now there is no mention of fear, right? The only thing he did is that he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two main servants. Right? Now I want you to look at you know, actually so how can I put it in? Now, remember I told you about comparing what events, yeah. Now you find that when Jacob, you know, has stolen the blessing from his brother, look at the response, yeah, right, from Esau. Remember, he hated, isn't it? Hated Jacob, and what? And decided to kill. Yeah, he decided to. You know, on the day that the father died. Okay? Now, right? Now, when you look at this one is Esau and Jacob. Now, when you look at this again, after about 20 years, right? Now, here is what? Reconciliation, patching up, yeah. Right. Now, when you look at the content, it's completely different. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, I want you to look at it. And he crossed verse 3. Yeah? Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet his brother and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and they wept. Can you see the wonder and joy of reconciliation? Right? It brings about what? It brings about warmth and understanding. It brings about unity and happiness. Is it not true? It's so different when you look at the first one. Closeness of what? Of what is? Catching up. Which one would you pick? This one or this one? Everyone said they would pick this one. But in reality, you find that most people are in this situation. Is it not true? This one? Yes. This is what? This is intended by God. You know, when you look at the story of Esau and Jacob, hardly did they talk to one another. You know, the only account in the Bible before reconciliation, yeah, when they spoke to one another is when, what? Esau sold his birthright. That's the only time that they talk. Apart from that, no talking. Brothers, no talking. It's all said within the household of God, yeah. You know, sometimes you find that people live under the same roof, like different roof, right? And this is the corridor where it is called, right? You know, they come out the key, they don't even think about the door, they don't come here. It's like strangers in the family. So sad. Do you greet your parents? Can you see your parents in the morning? Hey, daddy, mommy, what's that? Do you greet them? Do you greet your sibling? Dai lo zhou san. Do you greet your sibling, your sisters, your brothers? You do? Are you sure? Sometimes I tell you, it's so sad, yeah? We are TJC members, we are Christian, we claim to be what? The true church of God, and yet when we see one another, we don't greet one another. What is going on here? It's like we are strangers. But when you see your friend, ha ha ha, and you keep talking non-stop. Is it not true? Problem. Right? Problem. The family is disintegrated. Why? Because of no what? No gift. What do you mean? Okay. Right. To me, this is a wonderful picture. Oh, can someone draw the blind? I can't see. I'm blinded by the sunlight. Thank you. Okay. Now look at verse 5. To me, chapter 33 is a very touching chapter. Verse 5. And he lifted his eyes and saw the women and children and said, "Who are these with you?" Now look at the reply from Jacob. He said, "These are the children whom God has graciously given your servant." Now can you see now? Yeah. A guy who didn't really, you know, trust in God, yeah? Always did, you know, things according to his own will, you know, try to, you know, supplant or whatever. Now you find that his focus is very, he has a very God-centered perspective. Right? Now we may ask, what have made him to be so God-centered? The problems. Right? But he said, God has graciously given your servant. In fact, you see that he mentions so many times, yeah? Now, if you look at verse 11 again, please take my blessing that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough, urge him and he took it. You know, that kind of thing. Huh? It's like everyone, everything that he said, God is in the equation. Right? You understand what I'm saying? It's precious. Sometimes that's why we ask ourselves when we chat with our friend, when we talk, you know, to your brothers and sisters, what kind of perspective is our conversation? Very important. If sometimes you find that, you know, many of our conversation is not God-centered conversation, talking about worldly stuff without God, godless conversation. So, you know, troubles, you know, do change a person. Okay? Now, when you look at the conversation between the two brothers, it's so lovely, it's so kind, it's so gracious, it's full of what? Brotherliness, if I can put it that way. Like the bond is there. Right? And where does it come from? Reconciliation. Right? Now, so if I don't know much about you, right, if you can't speak to your family members, if you can't speak to your friends, your relatives, if you can't really talk, you know, sit down and chat with your parents or whatever, or even your grandparents, your elderly, the elderly people who live with you, then you need to make a point to change yourself. Right? You know, sometimes if you want to experience the warmth of your family, this is what you have to do. Right? Now, sometimes, you know, I cannot blame the elderly people, because they have been through so much. Now, the younger generation should show respect to them. Okay, I think that is why, you know, the church, the workers of God have been telling you guys since NSSC, each time when you see them, you need to take the initiative to go and greet them. Is it not so? When you see them there, you walk away. Go near them and greet them. That's respect. Right? And then you'll see the warmth. I tell you that actually the elderly people, they are very kind people. You know, when I was still in Newcastle about 7-8 years ago, I was here looking after the church. Because I stay in the preacher's room. You know, sometimes some of them came very early to the church. They would like to talk to me. So sometimes I don't understand what they are saying, to be honest. Because they are talking about history, you know. When they were in Uptown, all this kind of thing happened. I didn't understand. I didn't dare to ask them, what are you talking about? So I just I sat down and listen. Oh, okay. For 2 hours sometimes. Listen. I tell you they love you. Every time they see you, Chin-dong. I'm not being greedy for food or whatever. I'm not saying that. The important thing is because if you take the initiative to draw close to them, they'll love you. And this is how you build up the warmth and love in the family. You understand what I'm saying? You know that the older generation, they are limited. Okay? But our part is to initiate that. You know, that kind of conversation, or to strike up conversation with them. Even a simple hello, they'll be very happy. You know, sometimes when you hold their hands, they are very happy. And they feel the warmth. Understand what I'm saying? This is what we should show to them. I don't think you people are afraid when you hug your friend. Why can't you do it on your grandfathers and grandmothers? Why not? You only do it on your friends. Why?
Bad boy.
Right? You understand what I'm saying now? So, if you want to talk about warmth and love in the family, and you have a part to play as well. If there's no warmth in your family, yeah, who is to blame? Blame yourself. Because you have not done enough. Okay? Now, we look at it. You find that it's also courteous, yeah? You know, between the two brothers now. Now, I want you to read, verse 9. But Esau said, I have enough, my brother. When you talk to your sister, you said, oh, sister, thank you. I have enough. Will you say that? I have enough. Don't bring it to me anymore. Look at that kind of, you know, pouring out of love. Okay? He said, my brother, I have enough. It's so soothing, it's so, you know, heartwarming, put it this way. Is that not true? Yeah? You don't know what heartwarming is? Come on, one scene. So please, youngsters, please do a bit more. Okay? You can be the difference in your family. Yes. When your father or mother said to you, no, it's okay, mom. I have enough. Wow, I tell you, they will be very happy. I'm teaching you how to treat your parents. Treat your parent well. Okay, now, come back. Now look at Jacob. Right? Oh, suddenly he became so kind already. So gentle. Verse 11. Please take my blessing. Okay. Now read verse 14. Please let my Lord go on ahead before. It's so courteous, so nice towards one another. This is what we need to have in the family, right? Even amongst your peers, okay? When you work together in the church as a group, or within a community, right? Let's say you sit on a board, you know, youth board or whatever, and you need to show this kind of courtesy towards one another. Must be kind. Right? Now, the important thing is, yeah, if we have the nature of God, if we have adopted the nature of God, you find that the outflowing from within you, yeah, has to reflect the nature of God. Is that not true? If you say, I love God, I have, you know, I believe in God, but what comes from you is bad, that it means that God is not in your heart. Simple as that. Right? Yeah. So, this is a very touching story here. Okay. Now, never mind. Now, we come back, yeah? Verse 18 now. I want you to circle the word safely. Safely? Circle it, safely. Okay. Then Jacob came safely. Okay. Yeah, verse 18, yeah. Circle the word safely. To the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and he pitched his tent before the city. Okay, now it's like, okay, he has what? major problems in his life, yeah? God helped him to overcome. The first one is to deal with his uncle, yeah? Uncle? C-L-E. His uncle Laban, right? Now, obviously this is by divine intervention. Because God spoke to Laban at night, okay? Don't speak anything good or bad to Jacob. Okay? By divine intervention. Okay. Now, two major problems resolved. So we said overcame or whatever. We have to use that. Now, number two. Now, he reconciled to Esau. Now, by grasping I don't like the word. We changed another one. Clinging on to the Lord. Yeah, and that is true. Prayer. Right? No. So you find that as far as Jacob is concerned, for him to overcome problems, yeah, the first one requires obviously divine intervention. Because it was the will of God that he must return to Bethel, where he came from. Right? Now the second one is because he held on tight to God. That's why, you know, wrestled with the angel of the Lord and he prevailed until he was blessed. Okay? Now, that's why, in a sense, they have safely arrived to the city of Shechem. That's why I want you to circle the words safely. I'm not too sure about the Chinese. 中文有讲吗? 三十八节有说吗? Huh? 平平安安啊。 But when we come to chapter 34, it's no longer peace. You understand what I'm saying? So, what I'm trying to bring to your attention is this, okay? Right? Now, plus, the point I'm trying to help you understand, right? Sometimes you find that problems in life is like, you know, coming wave after wave. Like, it's unceasing. Right? And when you think that, oh, problems are over, now is the time for me to, you know, to enjoy myself a little. And then the next moment you realize that, you know, another problem arises. This is life, right? Now, I think the life of Jacob tells us exactly that, right? The tribulation and trials are unending. Help. You get what I'm saying now? Even though it seems that they have safely arrived. Yeah? And yet you find that another problem. And, you know, plague the family. So sad. Now, who caused the problem? The children. Alright? And chapter 34, the responsibility is squarely on the shoulders of the children of Jacob. Because they were disobedient, they were ruthless. And they were what? Ungodly. That's the problem. They were godless. Okay? Now, right? It's like, you know, he can't describe how pitiful Jacob was. Really, can't describe. Now, I want you to look at chapter 34. Now, I want you to just look at verse 1 and verse 2. You know, the Bible actually introduces this character, Dinah, earlier on. Yeah. Where is it? Chapter 30. Chapter 30, yeah? If you look at verse 21. Obviously, she was a daughter of Jacob. And she was the daughter to who? Which wife? Leah? Hey? Was she a daughter of Leah? Yes. Yes, yeah? No, verse 30. Chapter 30, verse 21. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Now, so sometimes you see that this is the style of the scriptures. When a person is introduced, let's say, a few times, then you know that something is going to happen to this man. Or if the person is introduced right before an event happened, it means that it's like this is a main character. Remember I told you about this Sarah? How does the Bible introduce her? Barren woman. Is that not true? She was barren. Is that not true? Strange, isn't it? Now obviously with a purpose. Obviously with a purpose, yeah, to help us understand, yeah, how the promise of God eventually came to pass without the influence of man. So that's the idea. Okay? So this is how you can read Genesis in this way. Or any part of the scriptures for this matter. Okay, now we look at chapter 34, verse 1. And now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, who she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of what? Of the land. Now, verse 2. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. Now, so the question is, who should we blame? Obviously, we'll blame what? Blame this guy, Shechem. Okay? Now, class, yeah? I want to make this very clear to you. Right? Now, we know that this world is so dangerous. Okay? Unless you are not very interested in salvation. That is another story. If you are truly concerned, yeah, for your own spiritual well-being, then you need to pay careful attention to this. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, I think most of you will be going to university for the first time. Okay? For the first time. Then you have to be very careful. Yeah? Staying away from home is not a license for you to do what you want to do. Okay? If you realize that you cannot control yourself, then my advice to you, you stay at home. Don't get yourself what? Kill spiritually. Is that clear? Right? You know, some people, I don't want to stay at home. You know, my father, my mother are so noisy. Always nag at me. Non-stop nagging. But this is life and death, I'm telling you. When most youngsters go to university, if they do not exercise self-restraint, they sin against God. So what happened? Hang out. In the family of Jacob, that there were so many people. There's so many, you know, servants and other members of the family. And this girl, she chose to go out to hang out with what? With this Canaanite people. Right? So that, like what we said before, we are Christian. We are children of God. We are different from the world. Therefore, we must distinguish ourselves. Yeah, must distinguish ourselves. Right? You go to uni to study or whatever, but you don't go to uni to live a life like the Gentiles. Okay? You go to uni to study, you don't follow the trend and the ways of the Gentiles. Right? If you want to mingle with them, fine, with one objective, because you want to preach to them. Right? If you want to hang out with them just to go to the bar, to club, you know, whatever, then forget it. Don't even think about studying in university. I'm being honest with you. Because you will lose your soul. That's for sure. Yeah? Is that clear? Have I made myself clear? Okay, so bear this in mind. Yeah? To go to university is not a license for you to do what you want to do. It's not a license for you to follow the world. Is that okay? Hello? Are you getting me well? Yeah? Because you know why? When you stay away from home, no one is there to look at you. Yet to keep check on you. No one. And you have to you have to be very cautious. How many of you are staying away from home? Raise your hand. Practically all of you. Some of you stay at home. I think it's good. But remember, I don't oppose people staying in uni accommodation. I don't oppose that. But the danger is great. The danger is great. You asked me to stop. Okay, I stop. It's all right. Okay? Sister, are you okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, now come back, yeah? So remember, because life away from home is full of danger, right? That is full of traps and snares. That, you know. Okay, now, when was it? Yesterday morning, I was reading the news. You know, I think in Scotland, one youngster died of, you know, some kind of pill. You know, ecstasy type of pill. I think he or she, can't remember, it was a girl or boy. Took the pill and died. You know, when you take that kind of pill, you become high, you know, you float, practically. You know, I'm in ecstasy, I'm so happy, and then after that you collapse and die. Understand what I'm saying? So, when you go out, don't try anything that is not familiar with you. Unless you're very sure what you're doing. There's no need for you to take any pills. For what? You're healthy. Why do you want to take pills? For what? To be high. Why do you want to be high? Why? Okay? You know, again I said, yeah? You are not supposed to go to club. Yeah. No clubbing. No clubbing. Right? You know, people can just drug you, anything. Put into your drink and then that's it, finish. Right? You understand what I'm saying? No need to go to club, no need to go to places that you're not supposed to go. You are children of God. Remember your status. Eh? You are children of God. Okay? Is that clear? Right, any questions? You see, when you look at the story, I really pity Jacob. It caused so much grief to the family. Now, I want to read again, chapter 1. Chapter 26. Turn to chapter 26. Verse 34. Verse 34. Now, when Esau was 40 years old, he took as wife Judith, the daughter of Beriah the Hittite, and Ashmath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. Now, 35. And there were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. And this grief was caused by Esau. No, the point I'm trying to bring to your attention is sometimes grief caused to the parents may not be shown out to you. You know, I tell you, sometimes we go visiting. When parents talk to us, they cry, I'm telling you. They cry because of their children. The children are not obedient. They cry, they shed tears. Your parents don't cry before you, in front of you. But they cry in front of the preachers. They cry. My children don't go to church and don't behave well. Okay. If you say you love God, and yet you grieve your parent. How can you say you love God? How do you love God? You love God by grieving your parents? Is that how you love? You say, I want to serve God. How are you going to serve? Understand? Is it clear? So, the church, obviously, our Heavenly Father, wants us to be good children of God. Yeah. So we obviously hope that after you have returned from here, then you can show a marked difference in your behavior, in your dealing with others, and indeed the entire church. Okay? Say a silent prayer. Amen.